Well, this morning I'm excited to share with you where we've been going these last several weeks. I shared with you last week our values, and the week before our mission statement. And just to kind of recap where we're at, our mission statement tells you who we are or what we are as a church body, what we're doing and who we are. And then our values tell us why we do it, what's motivating, what's underneath why we do what we do. And then today, I'm going to be telling you our vision for 2018, the vision that God's given me for Osborne for this year. And so I'm excited to do that. But before I tell you the vision, I want to recap and see if anyone actually remembers the mission statement. I could cheat and put it up here. Or you could cheat and see if you have one from one of your weeks that was here. And if you can say it with me one more time, our mission statement at Osborne is: we pursue a relationship with God by embracing His promises, encountering His presence, and empowering His people. I almost forgot. Woo! Empowering His people. So that's our mission statement. That's who we are. One sentence explained all that the last couple weeks. Vision, again, let's see if I can do it without looking. Let's see if I can do it without looking. But we're about the Word, worship, and ministry, which it's always been since I've been your pastor. And we just kind of gave some clarifying sentences to go with that. And so they're on here. But the Word is we're about knowing Jesus and being grounded in the written Word of God. And we invite you to embrace the truth and to allow it to transform you as you live it out. So it's that whole idea of the Word. We want to be grounded in it. And the idea is knowing Jesus. When you come here, we want you to get to know Jesus. Whether you're knowing Him for the first time or if you've known Him for 60 years, there's always more to know about Jesus. So that's what happens here at Osborne, is we want to know Jesus. And then the next one is worship. We're about praising Jesus, as we just did this last half hour, just singing praises to Him and just honoring Him because He's worthy of those praises, right? So we praise Jesus. We're about praising Jesus in spirit and in truth. And we invite you to encounter the presence of God with us. So that's the whole idea of worship. And then values, our last one is ministry. And so that encompasses a lot that goes on in this church. But ministry, we're about walking with Jesus, walking with Him, doing the things that He did, living the life that He lived. You hear me preach a lot, Isaiah 40, that He's been anointed by the Holy Spirit to do what? To heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to do these different things. And so we're called to ministry. We're called, whether you're a pastor or whether you're a congregant, doesn't matter. All of us are called to full-time ministry. We're all called to be in the ministry like Jesus. And so we're walking with Jesus to love people well. That's what ministry is, to sum it up. We're just loving people well. Love God, love others, right? That's the whole Bible summed up. That's what Jesus said. And so we want to get into that and figure out all the details. We value the Word, but we also just value loving people well. And we invite you to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to share Christ with others. And so that's our values that underline why we do everything we do here at Osborne. Is we love God's Word. We want to get into it. We want to study it. We want to know what it is for our own selves. We live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God for our own daily living. And then, yeah, worship. It's just our whole life. It's not just singing songs. We live to worship Him. That's why we live. And so, finally, yes, and we're called to something. We have a mission, and we're called to walk with Him and to share Christ with others. And so we've got to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. I want to preach this whole thing again. But this is who we are. This is what we're doing. And so how do we get there? And so before I give you a whole statement of our vision of where we're going for this year, I want to give you just a word, kind of a word that I have. Before I do, I want to pray. Hopefully I didn't get up there yet. Good. Oh, they threw it up there. Nice. So let me pray that the Lord helps me share all the things that all the information I want to communicate to you. But above and beyond the communication of information, I want the Holy Spirit to empower me so that I can speak words from God to you, that all of us are fed, that God would feed His sheep, you and I, this morning through His Word. Amen? So let's pray that God does that. God, I thank You that You are alive and well and that Your Word is living and active. And God, we're hungering for it right now. And we ask that Your Holy Spirit would open up our ears, open up our hearts, soften it. I thank You that Your Holy Spirit is like oil and it softens things, Lord, and that Your Holy Spirit is the helper. And at the same time, Your Holy Spirit endues us with power. And so, Jesus, You often said, "He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit has to say." We want to hear what Your Spirit wants to say to us this morning, God. Make us hungry, God. We just confess to You that we want to leave this room changed and different, having encountered Your presence, having embraced the truths from Your Word, Lord God, and we want to go out of these walls and go walk it out, God, live it out. So we just thank You for this time, God. We ask that You would bless it and that we would honor You in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, so the word that I have for this year, for 2018, is the word connect. connect. What does that word mean? What is that? I'm going to share with you this morning a little bit of it, but I feel like I'm just beginning to unpack a little bit of it this morning. I'm hoping this whole year you begin to own that word and you begin to look at how it applies to your own life personally, individually, and then even for us as a church. What does that word connect mean? And it's been fun. God kind of laid this word on my heart, obviously, back in 2017. And it's fun to see how God has already been doing some of these things. The idea connect. Well, I won't jump into some of those yet, but connect. For me, one of the first things that I was trying to figure out, building connections. What's our statement? How are we going to say this? Building connections. You got to get connected and all these different ways of connect. And when I think of get connected, this is my cheesy, lame, old self. I always think of songs, and this one's a secular one. Anyone know the early 90s? Gonna get myself connected. Writing's on the... Anybody know? No, I see lots of no's. I was a preteen when that song came out. I was just learning, like, oh, there's music. Like, you could turn on a radio. And I started getting cassettes, and I started taping the FM radio stations on... Okay, never mind. I started doing that. And so that song comes to my mind all the time. Get yourself connected. But this idea of connect, I'm going to share with you some Bible verses. I'm going to share with you a vision. But really quick, since I'm already staying secular, I'm going to stay secular. Connect. When I think of connect, I also think of networking, or kind of a word that could be negative or good, schmoozing. Have you ever heard that word, schmoozing? Where you connect to people. It's all about getting connected to people. You heard the statement. It's not what you know. It's who you know, right? And that's the whole idea. And if you actually type in, I did this, you could try it, Google, you know, connect. And there's a lot of this secular things about connect. And even the business world and in the industry, entertainment industry, it's a lot about connections. It's all about who you know. And so I wanted to, Google said this about the idea of connect. No matter how talented you are, no matter how smart you are, and no matter how creative you are, the fact is you aren't moving forward as fast and effectively as the person who has connections with the right people. This is understood within the entertainment industry, within business. Some more statements, a lot shorter. Being connected is more important than being talented. Wow. Being connected is more important than being talented. You see that with some of our entertainers. They're not that talented, but they got the right connections. Your connections are often more important than your resume. That's in the business world. They say your connections are often more important than your resume. There's all these people that have the same resume, but it's all about who you know, the connections you have. And thank goodness you start bringing this in a little bit more to the church, a little more what we're talking about. It's all about who you know. It's all about who you know. It's not how talented you are. It's not about the gifts that you possess or the things that you did wrong or the things that the screw up you did. It's all about who you know. I know Jesus. I'm connected to Jesus. I'm under the blood, therefore I'm connected to the Father. It doesn't matter all the things I am good at or I'm not good at. I'm connected. I got connections. I got friends in lowly places. I got friends in high places, right? I got connections. And so praise God, that's what I want us to be talking about this morning is connect. The definition of connect, I think that we got that one up there. You just Google it. The definition of connect is somewhere coming up there. There it is. To join, link, or fasten together, unite, or bond, to establish communication between, to establish a relationship. That's straight from Google. To establish a relationship. Are you seeing here the relationship or the connection to our mission statement? We pursue a relationship with God. That's what we're doing. We are pursuing a connection with God. That's what we're doing. And so this is idea, this vision for 2018, it ties in with everything. That we're trying to get connected to God more and more. How are we connecting? And some of those things that I want us to do is we're going to be connecting. I'll give it to you now. We're going to be, I think I have to skip a slide. But we're going to be connecting to his word, to his people in the body of Christ, and to his world in need. This is our 2018 vision. We are going to connect to God's word, and we're going to spend all of the month of February talking about how we're going to get connected, practical ways. I know you've heard lots of sermons. You hear, if you've been in the church for any length of time, you know it's important to read the word. You know it's important. And so I don't want to just keep telling you, read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible. We're going to give you some practical things in February. We're going to talk about how do you actually get connected to God's word, where his word actually connects to your life throughout the day. I think of Psalm chapter 1, right? The very first verse, it says, "Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." He's like a tree planted by the waters. I'll stop there. But he meditates on the word day and night. It's not that he just went and did the checklist. Yeah, I read my devotions. I read a couple of verses this morning. I'm good. I got connected to God's word. No, day and night, somehow that word is connecting to his life. All the day long, he's thinking about it, and it's empowering him, or it's showing him, giving him wisdom of knowing what to do. It's a lamp unto his feet, a light unto his path. We're getting connected, so I don't want to preach on all that right now, but the idea is, how are we connecting God's word to our own life? And then the next one is the body of Christ. The month of March, we're going to be talking about how we get connected here at Osborne. What are we going to do to connect here? How do we, if someone isn't here for a couple of Sundays, somebody in here should recognize and know. And how do we do that? As a pastor, I've been failing in some of that because I'm up here and I'm not paying attention always. So I need your guys' help. As the ministers, I need your help to connect the body of Christ. How do we do this? How do we live life together in the body of Christ? And so we're going to be talking about that in the month of March. We're going to give some practicals on how to do that. Then finally in April, we're going to talk about connecting to his world in need. How do we get outside this church body? Yes, it's all about connecting to God. It's connecting to his church body. Now we've got to be effective to go actually reach the world. The harvest is white. The fields are white into the harvest. Let's go. Let's connect to the world. And so it's one of those things they build on each other. You got to first connect to God. And there is a verse I want to share with you. Colossians 2:19. I think it's up there. Colossians 2:19 says, "Connect to Christ, the head of the body. For he holds the whole body together with its joints and ligaments, and it grows as God nourishes it." This idea that my heart as your pastor is I want us to connect as a church body. I want us to get healthy, for us to be a healthy church that grows and thrives, obviously grows in our spiritual walk with the Lord, but grows in numbers. And I love Pastor Wayman. He had to come here speak one time, and he shared with our leadership. He said this several times, healthy churches grow. You can try to be a dysfunctional church and do all these programs to try to grow, but if you're not healthy, you're not going to grow. Healthy things grow. Healthy plants, healthy, whatever is healthy grows. And so the idea is we've got to get connected to each other and be a healthy body. And as we're healthy, it's amazing how we just connect to Christ and then things grow. And I love that. It says just connect to Christ, the head of the body. It's actually, he's the one that's doing it. He's the one that holds the whole body together. He's the one that joins the ligaments and grows as God nourishes it. God is the one who supplies all we need. God is the one who's going to grow it. God does all these things. Really, up here, it's just saying, connect to Christ. That's it. As your pastor, the most important thing I can do for you is for me and myself to connect to Christ. If I'm healthily connected to Christ, I can effectively be your pastor. If I try to go to all kinds of seminars and go to classes and read all these different books on how to be a pastor, and I'm not connecting to Christ, I'm doing you a disservice. I'm not going to be a healthy pastor. The best husband, the best wife you can be, how you get there is connecting to Christ first. The more healthy you're connected to Christ, the better you're going to be in your business. The better you're going to be at, no matter what it is, no matter what situation, if you're healthily connected to Christ in that, if you're bringing your business and you're saying, God, how do I connect you to every area of my business? What am I doing all throughout the day? Christ will cause everything to nourish and to flourish and to prosper when you're connecting to Christ. And so this is the theme for 2018. How are you connecting? How are we increasing our connections? How are we increasing the strength and the health of our connection to Christ? And so this verse, I feel like it's going to be one that we come back to often. This Colossians 2:19, connect to Christ. That's it. That's the most important thing we can do. You know, this idea of ligaments that, you know, it's Christ who does that. I can't help again but think of the psalmist, right? He says that he knit me in my mother's womb. He's the one that did it all. My mom and dad, they played a part, right? But the Lord is the one that knit me together in my mother's womb. He's the one that fashioned me. He's the one that caused me to grow in my mother's womb. It's the same thing spiritually. It's the same thing in our church body. If we want our body to grow, we've got to be connected to Christ. And as we're connected to him, he's going to bring the ligaments together. He's going to bring all of us individual parts together and cause us to grow. So this is it's a really deep verse. We're going to dive in deeper as this year goes on. Gave the definition already. Vision statement. All right, so the next thing, we're going to jump right in to the Word. So we've got to connect to his Word. That's what's important. And I don't want to preach all of that this morning because we're going to be talking about it whole month of February. But Jesus, the Word, says in John 15:5, he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. We have to be connected to Jesus Christ. We've got to be connected to Jesus Christ. And that's how we bear fruit. In fact, turn there. I heard a couple of Bibles. Turn to John 15. Turn with me there. John 15. I'll get there too. You have the hymnals in front of you. You have a Bible in front of you. Or you have your app on your phone. That's fine too. But get your fingers dirty this morning a little bit. John 15. Let's read verses 1 through 8. So you get the whole context here. This is Jesus, the Word, saying we've got to be connected to him. He says, John 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. All right, there's a lot in there. I'm not going to preach the whole thing because I could spend all day unpacking all of what Jesus is saying here. But a few things that stand out to me that I do want to highlight is even that very last verse. He says, by this my Father is glorified. And by this, you're actually my disciples. This actually shows that you're a Christ follower. This is how you are a Christian. And this is how you do what you're created to do. To glorify the Father is to do what? In verse 8, what does it say? How do you do that? How do you glorify the Father and how do you become a disciple? Bear fruit. Bearing fruit is what glorifies God. Bearing fruit is what qualifies you as a disciple of Jesus Christ. As we just read through all that, if you don't bear fruit, you're cut off. There's things that the whole idea is fruit coming out of your life. Fruit coming from this church is what glorifies God. It's what pleases him, is fruit. According to these verses we just read, how do you bear fruit? Abide in him. Connect to the vine. How do you glorify the Father? How do you become a Christ follower? Stay connected to the vine. Jesus says, I'm the vine. Just connect to me. Just abide in me. Be healthily connected to me. And fruit will just come out of you. It's not you striving. It's not you trying and mustering up all the strength and doing all these things. Just abide in me. Just connect to me as the head, and I'll bring the ligaments together. I'll cause nourishment. I'll cause the fruit to come out of your life. Just abide in me and let my words abide in you. Again, you see the word. Let God's word dwell richly in you. Let it abide in you. And as it's in you and it's abiding in you, it's going to bear fruit. It's living and active. It's not meant to lay dormant. When his word is in you, it's not just going to come back and return void. Nothing, right? It's going to bring back fruit. When his word gets in us, it's going to bear fruit. When we are worshiping Jesus Christ, when we're doing these things, fruit, it's a natural progression. So for me, it's clear. You see that he calls his Father the vine dresser, the vine dresser. The branches, I always picture, when I was a kid, I used to picture a big tree, right? A big trunk. And I thought Jesus was like this big trunk. And, you know, I'm the branch that's there, and, you know, apples, things like that. But really, in context here, he's probably talking about grapes, right? Vines. And they grow from the ground, this big vine, and then it has all these branches that go out really far. Well, if you've ever been to a winery, you've seen those things, the grapes, right? They have the grape leaves that go, they have those little strings that go in between each vine, and the branches go out, and then that's where all the grapes grow off the vines. And so there's a vine dresser. He says, my Father's a vine dresser. And if he sees a branch that's not healthily connected to the vine, it's been nicked or something's happened to it, and it's just drawing. It's barely connected, and it's sapping all the energy because the vine is trying so hard to repair that it's not bearing fruit over on these other branches. So as a good vine dresser, I'm going to make this vine be as healthy as it can and get as many branches to bear as much fruit, so I'm going to cut off that branch. It's not doing any good. And then it says that even as a vine dresser, there are branches that are connected, but it's not, and it's bearing fruit. He says, oh, it's bearing fruit. Good. Let me prune you. So you're getting connected. You're getting cut no matter what. The vine dresser is cutting things. That the reality is that if you're bearing fruit, you're rewarded with pruning. You're rewarded with the Lord cutting you back. Because if you're bearing fruit, there's things, I guess, in a more practical sense. If I'm healthily connected to God's word, I have his Holy Spirit has empowered me, and there's these things I want to do. I want to share Christ with others. Sometimes there's things where I start to do it in my own power. I start to do things, well, I think this is what God wants me to do, and I start doing things on my own. And God's saying, I'm going to reward you, Ryan. Thank you for trying to do those things, but let me cut you back a little bit. That's actually not going to produce the most fruit. Let me show you a better way. And so sometimes we think that is a bad thing, but it's a good thing that God is constantly watching and addressing our lives, saying, how can you bear the most fruit possible? And this is important. It's connected to the Word. It's connected to Jesus. And so you see Jesus saying this. It's important that we understand this. If you want to flip with me, two chapters later, John 17, this is Jesus praying for himself right before he's arrested, right before Judas shows up, betrays him with a kiss, and he's arrested, and this is his prayers in the Garden of Gethsemane here in these last few chapters. And in John 17, verse 20, you see Jesus saying this. He just prayed for his 12 disciples, and after praying for his 12 disciples, he says this in verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So you see this happening, that Jesus, he's connecting to me. I see, when I'm reading this, I have this idea of the word, the body of Christ, and the world that needs to hear. So because I have this lens that I'm looking through everything, I see it jumping off to me, off the pages, off these verses. But Jesus is praying for you and I. And he's saying, I do not pray for these alone, but all for those who believe me through their word. You see that word, so it leaps to me off the page. Their word. What's he talking about? Whose word? The disciples. He was just talking about the disciples. So he's talking about the disciples' word, that you and I would believe that Jesus is the Son of God because of the disciples' word. Where do we have the disciples' words? Right here. Disciples wrote the Gospels. That you have Paul, who met Jesus on the road to Damascus, who wrote a lot of the New Testament. You have these disciples that encountered Jesus. And because of their word, because of their testimony, because of the written word, you and I believe. We believe. And then you see it goes on further, that they also may be one in us. Jesus is praying to the Father, and he's saying, just like I'm connected to you, I want my body, I want the believers to be connected to you, just like I'm connected to you. That they would become one, a body of believers. So you see that, the body of Christ. You see that in Jesus' prayer. And then he says this at the very end, and then he says, that they also may be one, and that the world may believe that you sent me. You see these three words that are this vision that I have for this year, all wrapped up in this statement as well. That our job is to hear the word, the disciples' word, to believe, to become one, to be connected as the body of Christ, and then that the whole world might believe. So again, this is our whole vision for 2018. You see Jesus quoting this over and over again. I'm going to skip that really quick. So let's move on to the next one. So we're connecting to his word. Again, I'm talking about practical ways how to do that. But this next one, we're connecting to his body. 2018, we're going to connect to the local church, the body of Christ. And if you want, let's turn. Let's get our fingers dirty. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12. And I got to turn there too. I didn't mark it. 1 Corinthians 12. And let's read. I want to read all of that. All right. Let's do it. So starting in verse 12. So 1 Corinthians 12, 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So you're getting it already? Sometimes we just read these words and we're not understanding. That we're all members, you and I, we're all members of one body. So is Christ. Christ is one body. And so he's explaining this. So let's go on further. Verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. I love that verse. God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. You were brought into this body here at Osborne for a purpose, for a reason, for his pleasure. Verse 19, and if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body. Amen. But that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Let's stop there. Verse 27. You are the body of Christ and members individually. When he's saying that, Paul is saying that, is he saying that you individually are the body of Christ, or we as the church are the body of Christ? Yes. Good. You guys are good. You didn't fall for it. Yes. He says it here in this paraphrase. He's saying the church, you guys are all togetherly. That's a good word too. Togetherly. You are the body of Christ. But in other places, he says it. He says, I had it here somewhere. 1 Corinthians 3:16, not John 3:16. 1 Corinthians 3:16, he says, you yourself, talking about individually, are God's temple and that his spirit dwells in you. So it's both. You said the answer right. Yes. You individually, you are the temple of the living God. At the same time, you see that there's verses where God's talking about how he's building us together. In Ephesians chapter 2, he says that he's building us. He's building a temple from you and I. We're all different bricks that he's putting and stacking together and building a temple that he might fill with his glory. So you are individually the temple, the body of Christ, but really it's all of us collectively, individually being members, making one body as the temple. And I just love that picture, that mental image, that we are all members. We just read through that whole chapter talking about how we're all play different roles. We're all different. We're all unique. And God has placed you here for a reason, that you are supposed to be different. You're not supposed to be exactly like me. It would do us all no good, Paul just said, if we were all an eyeball, right? It would be not good if we're all the same. We're supposed to be different. But we're supposed to be one. We're supposed to be united. And so you see that. You see Paul, he reflects this again in Romans. He says the same thing in Romans chapter 12, verse 4 through 5. He says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. I like that. We're connected to each other. We're members of one another. Ephesians 2:19. Do I have that one? I don't know if I have this one. Ephesians 2:19 through 20. It says, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. I like that one. You are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So it's this idea, we were talking about a body, and we're all members of one body. Now he's talking about a household, talking about a family. You are the family of God. You are in the household. You all have a function and a role. In my family, I'm a son. I have my mom and dad right here. I'm also a dad. I'm also an uncle. I have different roles in my family. I'm in the household of the Donnelly household. I bear responsibility in different functions. But I'm in that family. There's nothing you can do. You can try to change my blood, give me a blood transfusion. You can't do anything to change the fact that I'm a Donnelly. I'm in the family. Same thing with you. When you've been grafted into the family of God, you are a son, a child of God. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. There's nothing that can separate you. You're in the household of faith. And I love that. It says you're connected with all the saints. It says that. It says, now therefore, you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. So not only just the people in this room, the saints. I know there's other churches that pray to saints. I don't pray to saints, but praise God, I'm connected to them. I'm connected to them. I think about when I get to heaven one day, I'm going to see King David. I'm going to go see Elijah. I'm going to go see Moses. I get to talk to them. And it's one of those things where, man, I'm going to be in awe. They're like heroes. At the same time, I'm fellow members with them. I have the same inheritance. I have the same everything as them. With all the saints, they're actually, I don't mean to make it sacrilegious, they're no greater than you. King David, all these saints that have gone before us, the disciples. It talks about that in Peter. It talks about how, man, Elijah, he's just a common man like the rest of you. But he prayed and it didn't rain. And then he prayed again and it did rain. But he's just an ordinary guy just like you and I. Because we're in the household. I just love that we're in this household. And I'm going to be talking about that when we talk about being the body of Christ. How we've got to function as a family. This is important that we connect and see each other as fellow citizens and members in the household of God. Let's see what else I got here to tell you. I love that we as a church here at Osborne, this is just one little thing that I love, that we're not a mega church. That it's actually possible for me to connect one-on-one with every single person in this room. I love that. It's not against mega churches. I love some of the great things that the big churches are doing. I'm not against the church, the big churches. But I love that Osborne is intimate. Amen. I love that we are a family. I love that you really can have no excuse putting it on you. You can actually have a connection with every single person in this room. It's up to you. It says you are members. You are connected spiritually. But do you want to grow that connection this year? In 2018, do you want to get to know the people in the pews right next to you more? My prayer is that God would do that God would help us do that, but that my prayer is you would own this vision, that you would desire to connect with the people in this room, that you want to know everyone in this room, that you feel like it's one of your responsibilities to make sure that you know everybody in your church. It's on you, not just on me. And so I'm excited that God's going to do that this year, that we're going to connect to his church body. So this next one, connect to his world. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5. He says, you are the light of the world. And if you remember the very beginning of the Gospel of John, John says that Jesus is the light of the world, which he is. The light came into the darkness, right? It pierced the darkness, and the world couldn't comprehend it. It talks about how Jesus is the light of the world. But then Jesus goes right on to say, no, actually, you're the light of the world. As you become members of my body, as you become the church, as you become the body of Christ, you're the light of the world. You're a city on a hill that can't be hidden. People are watching you. People are noticing you. Jesus does not manifest himself in the flesh anymore. For 33 years, he was here on this earth and had a physical body here on the earth. But now we are the body of Christ to the rest of the world. We are the light of the world. People get to encounter Jesus Christ through you and me. People get to touch Jesus by touching you and me. We are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ to the world. It's this idea that we're the light of the world. We're the Jesus says it again right here in the same verses. You're the salt of the earth. You're the salt of the earth. That it's our job to preserve the truth of God. That when the world wants to decay and go in moral corruption, that we're preserving the word of God like salt. But more importantly, the way I view it is that salt enhances flavor. That we enhance the goodness of God. Everywhere we go, we are the salt of the earth. That when you walk into a room, it should be as salt is added to something, it enhances the flavor. That when you walk into somewhere, you enhance the goodness of God. That people encounter the goodness of God when they encounter you. That we go out into the world as the salt of Jesus Christ. That people can taste and see how good God is. When they see our lives, when they see what we're saying, when they see how we treat one another, they see how we treat them. Man, that tastes good. I like that. I want some of that. That we're the salt of the earth. It's important that we get this. You know, I heard Larry Lloyd say it this morning. Most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God loves the world. Do you and I have some room to grow in connecting some of our love to the world? I bear a lot of that. I love my family. I love spending time with my family. I love this church. I love spending a lot of my time with this church. The things of this world, sometimes I get disgusted. The things I hear in the news and things like this. I'm like, ugh, the world. I'm called to be connected to the world. Jesus loves the world. He loves the world. Is that same love in me? Where actually I love these people. They're lost. And I want them to encounter the goodness of God. Because I love them, not because I want to be right, not because I want to prove to them, not because I want to get another check mark that I brought someone to the Lord. No, because I actually love somebody. And I see the difficulty of life, and I want them to experience the joy of the Lord. I want them to experience salvation, being delivered from these situations. Because I love the world like God loves the world, I've got to have some connections to the world. I realize there's a lot of my life, let's just be personally, I grew up in a good Christian home. I went to a good private Christian school. I went to a good Christian church. And I did that all through school. Then I went to a Christian college. And then all these different things I've shared with you, my testimony, that a lot of what God had me do on purpose, He didn't have me step into ministry right after graduating Bible college. Because I was not connected to a world in need. I was connected to the body of Christ. I was connected to God. But I needed to use those connections to actually have an impact on the world. So He took me to a secular job where people cussed up the storm, where there was people trying to show me pornography. And all, I'm like, whoa, what is going on here? I had to get some connection to the world. If not, my message isn't going to make sense. I am an alien. God's word says I'm an alien, I'm a foreign. But there's got to be a way to connect. You see, Jesus, He did this. He was the Son of God. He was God incarnate, and He kept finding ways to connect to people. He kept talking about parables. He's by the water. People are fishing. All right, let's give a parable about fishing. He's walking through the fields. All right, let's talk about some farming. He constantly was looking for ways to connect to the world. Yes, He went into synagogues. Yes, He went into the temple. He taught there. But most of His ministry took place in the world. He went to the countryside. He would talk to crowds. He would spend time one-on-one with Nicodemus. Whatever way He could connect with somebody, He wanted to connect. You saw that. Read the Gospels. Jesus was constantly trying to connect the love of the Father to people's lives. He wanted to connect the truth of God's Word to set people free. Amen. He wanted to connect people into the family of God. This is what Jesus was constantly doing. And so this is our vision for 2018, that we'd want the world to be connected to His body so they can be connected to Christ, the head. This is our vision. And at the same time, this idea of world, I can't help but make this comment. If we want to be more connected to Christ, we might need to be a little less connected to this world. Maybe we need to be a little less connected to Netflix. Maybe to increase our connection with God, maybe to increase our connection with God's Word, we need to decrease our connection to Facebook or you fill in the blank. TV, the things of this earth. Again, there's not wrong. I'm not saying Netflix is bad. My kids, I let them watch that. I love it. It's fun. In fact, it spurred some things on, even in my message. I was watching a show with my wife. Anyone ever seen When Calls the Heart? But even in that TV show, because I have this vision on my mind, I'm watching this thing and I'm watching how the teacher, the school teacher, she sees this little boy that's new in her classroom, and then the mom, I guess, has passed away. I don't know all the story. I don't watch all of them. But the dad is not connecting to his son. His dad is so busy at work and so busy about providing that he's losing the connection with his son. And so this teacher is trying to get the dad to see, you got to stay connected to your son. You're losing him. You know, and I'm seeing all this. I'm just tying in all the messages. I'm like, yes, everything that I'm watching now through this lens, this idea of connect. And that's my heart and my prayer, is that somehow you own this vision. You own this word for 2018. Connect. I see God doing that already in our midst. As I said, we started in January, the beginning of this year, we started with a Spanish ministry that got plopped into our lap. I didn't go out looking for it. God brought this connection of Pastor Jim Toll to come and say, hey, can we rent out your facility and come on Friday nights and just have the neighborhood come pray? God brought that. I didn't have to seek that out. We didn't even seek really hard, but now we have our lead, a neighborhood council meets once a month here on our property. We're connecting to our neighborhood. God's bringing the connections. these are just testimonies I'm giving you that I see God. He's saying, yes, you got the right word. This is the word for 2018. Connect. Connect. But don't get lost in trying to connect the world and trying to connect to new programs and to connect because your whole goal is just try to grow the church. No, just connect to me. The most important thing you can do is just abide in me. Each one of us individually, just abide. Learn how to connect to Jesus Christ. It's one of these things that I don't want to preach just the importance of God's word. Again, like I said, just so that you can check it off. Yeah, I connected to God's word today. No, but that somehow God's word is connecting into your life all throughout the day. That's my prayer. How is God's word connecting to you all throughout the day, that the messages I bring, the things that we do here, is somehow getting God's word to connect to your actual situations, where you're at? This idea of connect, it combats, to me, this word alone. There's some of you in this room, you struggle with feeling alone. There's parts of your life. Maybe you're here today and you're connected here on the surface level. You're connected, you're doing things. But maybe there's certain areas of your life you feel alone. Nobody knows what goes on in this area of my life. It feels separated from what God's saying over here. There's something alone in your life. And I'm declaring to you this year, this is the year that God is saying He's going to connect you. Amen. He's going to connect you to Himself. He wants to connect to you. His desire is for you to know Him. He's doing everything He can to connect Himself to you. Do you want to connect to Him? I'm telling you, this word, there's so many things I could be talking about right now, but I want us to chew on it. Connect. What does that look like in your life this year? What does that look like today? We're going to get connected to His Word so we can understand what a life connected to God is. What is it? What is life connected to God? What is it supposed to be? We're going to get connected to His Word so we find that out. We're going to get connected to His body so that we can experience a connected life. And we're going to connect to a world in need so that they can know and experience a life connected to God. This is our vision, these three things. I just want us to get this ingrained in us. I can't make you more connected. I can't make you this, but this is my prayer, that we would own it. And as I was praying over our church, really quick as I'm recapping and closing up here, as I was praying for us, and I was just praying for us to get hungry for God's word. How I can't make you hungry, but I can pray that somehow God would do something supernaturally. And as I was just praying, I was reminded, I don't know if any of you have seen different videos or images of Bibles that were smuggled into China. And this suitcase full of God's word, full of Bibles, was brought to this underground church, right? Because it's against the law. This suitcase full of Bibles, and there's this video clip that I've seen a few times, that this suitcase is brought into this underground church, this gathering of men and women, old, young, just this church, underground church. And they open up the suitcase, and it's full of Bibles. And you just hear screaming, and they just, it almost looks like wolves, right? They're just ravenous. Ah, they just come rushing the suitcase, and they're all just grabbing. And you just see this mayhem. And then you see the person backs up from the video, and everyone's just grabbing it, and they're just clutching the Bibles. They're stroking it. They're kissing it. They're weeping. Some people are jumping up and down. They have God's word. They'd only heard someone else tell them before what God's word says. Now they actually have it. They were so excited, so hungry for God's word. And I was praying, God, would that be Osborne Neighborhood Church this year, 2018? May we learn just to be so hungry for it. That we couldn't imagine, I couldn't imagine going this next day without connecting to God, without getting His word into me, without knowing what I'm supposed to do today, that it actually, every single day this week, it's been a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I can't imagine tomorrow not having that lamp. That's my prayer for us, that we get hungry for His word. As I thought about us as a church body, being united, being connected, being strong together, I couldn't help but think of
A movie I saw several times in the theaters. The movie Gladiator. And Maximus, as he goes into the Colosseum, and he's with all of these ragtag guys that are supposed to be easy to be slaughtered. And he starts calling out, who here has ever been in the military, any kind of training? Get close to me. Everyone get close to me. If we stick together, they can't defeat us. If we stay as one, the enemy's defeated. And they get together and they all get their shields together and they all unify. And a couple people don't want to listen and they get picked off one at a time. Enemy takes them out, no problem. But as they're unified and they're one unit and they function as one, they completely decimate the enemy. And I was praying, God, yes, let that be awesome for our church. That we would be the church where the gates of hell do not prevail. That we would be strong and mighty. That's my vision for 2018. Hunger for His Word. A church that's strong and mighty. It's unified. And at the same time, the very last one, we're connected to a world. And I couldn't help as I was praying, think about Jesus' parable, the Good Samaritan. There were people in that story that were religious. They were seeking connections with God. But they had no concern and no desire to connect to the world in need all around them. They missed it. They missed it. They missed their opportunity right in front of them to actually enhance and grow their relationship with God by being His hands and feet because they didn't care about connecting to a world in need around them. And then you have the Samaritan, right? Who was seen as a person who didn't have a very good relationship with God, was judged, ridiculed, but he cared so much about people around him. He didn't care what people thought about him. He cared about those people. And he gave it all. He stopped for the one. That we would be a church of individuals that take the time to connect to individuals outside this church. As I went to Sunday school class this morning, that was about witnessing, sharing your faith. We're going to be talking about that. Equipping you guys how to do that. But I want us to be a church where we love people well. We're not so busy that we don't take time to connect. And as we wrap up this service, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Some of the things I said specifically in this message, or maybe just this word connect. What is your connection like to God right now? Do you need to connect with God in a way that you never connected to before? Maybe you don't have a connection with God. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you do have a connection with God, but if you're honest, it's one that does not bear much fruit. We want to make your relationship, your connection with God right this morning. Maybe, as we're talking about connect, maybe it's the way you connect in your family. That God is calling you this year to look at how you connect to your family. Yes, your blood family, but also this family, the body of Christ. What is your connection? What's it supposed to look like this year? How are you going to grow it? Are there some things you need to fix, to mend, to repair some connections this year?